What is repentance and what is faith? That's an important distinction, and it's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to this discussion today. Before we get to that, I'd like to remind you that we're taking questions from listeners just like you. So send us your questions at radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're so glad you're listening, and we're even gladder that you're sending us your questions to discuss the Bible or theology, especially where it comes to salvation. We're just happy to be able to serve in this way. So, for example, Ben writes, "Hey, my name is Ben. I'm 32 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. I am not a Christian. I believe we're living in the end times." So that's kind of two interesting things. He's not a Christian, but he believes we're living in the end times. "I'm so scared of going to hell. I think I understand the gospel. I even believe the gospel. I think where I am confused is repentance and faith. What is repentance? I've heard a few times that it's not enough to just believe the facts to be true. What is the difference between someone who believes the facts but is not saved and someone who believes the facts and is saved? What is faith?" So there's a bunch of interesting questions there. So where should we start? Maybe the first thing we should say is, what's the difference between believing facts and believing in a way that you become born again?
Well, there is no difference as long as you're believing the saving facts.
Well, that's the difference. Not just believing anything is going to get you born again. The difference between faith and saving faith is not how you believe. It's all being persuaded that something is true.
Right.
It's what you believe.
Right. Like he, for example, he says he believes the gospel. I assume by that he means he believes the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he believes the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day.
Right.
Something like that. But I don't think he believes that you're guaranteed you're going. Now, he might think, okay, that gives you a start, and so he might believe he's lost his salvation or something, but that doesn't appear to be the case. I think what he's saying is, I believe the facts of the gospel, but I'm scared of hell because I don't know if I've repented and truly believed, because in his mind, truly believing is more than believing the facts. It's something else, whatever that something else is.
Right.
So now he's got two problems. Number one, it's not faith, even if you define it as this super thing, but you got to add repentance into it.
Right.
And number two, he's got faith that is not simply being persuaded. So he's got two issues. He doesn't know what faith is, and he's got to add in repentance.
Right. So what is repentance?
Okay, repentance is basically turning from sins. In Matthew 12:41, Jesus says that the Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah. And if you look at Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, we're told they turned from their evil ways. They turned from their wicked ways. That is repentance. That's what they did. And so when they did that, God suspended judgment. So I have a book, Turn and Live, and basically all through the Bible, repentance is linked with physical life.
Right.
With God's blessing, with extending your physical life. So that basically, all things being equal, the person who repents is going to live a longer life than the person who doesn't repent.
So to address Ben's concern here, is repentance something you need to do to avoid going to hell?
No.
That is just believing in Jesus for this eternal life that he promises.
Paul is asked, what must I do to be saved? He says nothing about repentance.
Right.
He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The Lord Jesus shares the promise of everlasting life repeatedly in the Gospel of John. Not once does he mention repentance. Now, in fact, repentance isn't even mentioned in John's Gospel anywhere.
Right. Now, repentance is an important thing to preach. I mean,
it is.
If you have someone who has a drinking problem and they're out driving and they're going to either kill themselves or kill other people, you want to tell them, repent, stop doing that.
Right.
So that you don't die and so you don't hurt other people.
Right. And also the kingdom's not going to come for Israel until the whole nation is repentant.
Right.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was a national call.
Right.
In order for anyone to be born again, they must believe in the Messiah for everlasting life. But in order for the kingdom to come, not only must all adult Jews be believing, but they also all must be repentant.
So to be born again, you only need to believe. But now he says, I'm so scared of going to hell. How is it possible for someone to believe that Jesus died for sin and rose again from the dead and still be afraid of going to hell?
Well, that's my experience. When I was age 6, my parents enrolled me in this boys club, a very conservative religious boys club. We played baseball, basketball, football, and we had religious instruction 2 days a week. When we had practice for baseball, basketball, football, we'd also have religious instruction. Plus, I went on 2 trips around the United States with them for 6 weeks and got a lot more religious instruction. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe there was coming judgment. I believed that the only way I could escape that judgment was by turning from my sins to prepare to be born again. And I had to keep on cleaning up my life. And if I got good enough, then God would allow me to be saved. And then if I lived a sinless life, I would stay saved.
Right.
If not, I'd lose my salvation and couldn't get it back. So I believe the same way Ben's talking about. I was scared of hell, but I did believe the gospel. I did believe Jesus died. I did believe he rose again. But I didn't believe that by faith in him, I was secure forever.
That's right. So you knew what Jesus did, but you didn't know, and you didn't believe in what Jesus promised to believers. And that seems to be Ben's problem here.
That's a good point.
Right? He knows about Jesus. He knows what Jesus did. But he doesn't know, or he probably does. If I asked him, hey, what does John 3:16 say? Ben would probably be able to say, well, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then our response, our challenge would be, well, do you believe that? You understand it, but do you believe it?
Right.
That might kind of catch him off guard. He might say something like, well, I think I understand it. Well, do you?
Well, I think what he would say based on his question is, I believe the facts.
Right.
Of John 3:16.
I believe that Jesus said it. But okay, now, but do you believe that it's true for yourself?
And
if you do, what do you have?
And I think he would say, I intellectually believe it, but I don't think I really believe it, so therefore I can't say I have everlasting life, because
right.
In order to have everlasting life, you've got to really believe, and I don't know what really believing is.
Right.
So, Ben, let me tell you what really believing is. Really believing is simply believing.
Mm-hmm.
So, in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Notice, he who believes in me, the only condition is believing in Jesus.
Yeah.
Though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection. Then as the life, he says in verse 26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die.
All right.
He means spiritually. No spiritual death for the believer. Then he turns to Martha and says, do you believe this? He isn't asking her about her feelings. He isn't asking her about her commitment to him. He isn't asking her about her works.
Yeah.
He's saying, are you persuaded this is true? And she says, yes, Lord. And then she says why she's convinced that's true. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ,
mm-hmm.
the Son of God who is mm-hmm. to come into the world. In other words, I believe you're the Messiah who was promised by Moses and the prophets.
Right.
And so she believes the Messiah guarantees everlasting life to the believer. So when he says, do you believe this? He's not asking anything special. So, yes, coming back to your point on how we could help Ben, we could say Jesus says whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus? If he says, I don't know, then you say, well, that's the problem. The problem is you think it takes more than believing. You think believing is something special. I often illustrate it this way. For a lot of preachers, believing is left very vague. It's some kind of commitment to Jesus, some kind of submission to Jesus, some kind of determination to obey Jesus. It's very vague what it means, and John 3:16 could be interpreted this way or translated this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever blah, 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 should not perish but have everlasting life. And since people don't know what blah, 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 is, well, they're scared of hell.
Right.
What we ought to realize is,
they don't know what they need to do.
Right. To believe in Jesus for everlasting life is the same as believing that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, or believing that he died on the cross, or believing that he rose from the dead. It's all the same kind of thing. Believing is simply being persuaded.
There's only one way to believe.
Right. The only thing that's different is the object.
Right. There's many things that you believe.
Right. And so to believe in Jesus for everlasting life, and by the way, that's not just John 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul says, I'm an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And so once you believe that, you know there's no other condition.
Right.
And so, Ben, if you understand what we're saying and are convinced it's true, at that moment you're going to go, wow, I get it. There's nothing else I have to do. I don't have to clean up my life. I don't have to promise to serve God. I don't have to live a good life. I would want to do those things to please God. I would want to do those things because I know that's the only way to have an abundant life. But in terms of what I need to do to have everlasting life, I know I've already done it.
Right.
I was talking to a friend, Walt Millett, the other day. Walt came to faith in Christ 48 years ago. Walt said, I haven't had a moment of doubt about my eternal destiny and my eternal salvation in those 49 years. And he said, because it's never been about me, it's been about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Jesus promised this, and I know he's faithful.
Right.
The same is true for me. I mean, it would be like saying, have I ever doubted the existence of God? Have I ever doubted that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Have I ever doubted that Jesus died on the cross? No, no, no. I don't doubt those things because that's reality. And it would be kind of like saying, do I ever doubt that I exist? No. Those things you are convinced are true, you believe. So Ben, and those of you in the same position as him, that you believe the gospel, but you're scared you're going to hell, the good news that we have for you today is that Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and removed the sin barrier and made it possible for you to have everlasting life, and he rose from the dead so that one day you too can have a glorified body, he said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. It's really that simple. He's just making a statement of reality. If you're a person who believes in Jesus, then you have everlasting life. Once you get your mind around that, you'll realize it's simply a matter of believing in him for what he promises, which is everlasting life. I urge you to pray about this. God wants to answer you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ask him to show you if it's really as simple as simply being persuaded that Jesus guarantees eternal life to the one who believes in him. And then I urge you to pray every day and read a chapter of John every day until you gain that assurance. God will reward you for seeking him.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.